Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us. And if you have a Bible, if you would open it to Mark chapter 10, and if you are able to remain standing, just in honor of the reading of God's word, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Mark records this. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. May the Lord add his blessing this morning to the reading of his word. You may be seated, and as you are seated, the children from kindergarten through sixth grade would be dismissed for children's church. So we want to take a few moments this morning as the children go and bless them as they go to their time, just to reflect on this story and this question: what do you want me to do for you? It will set the stage and give us a direction for a few moments together before we would come to a little longer and extra time of worship and then a time to receive ministry from the Lord through prayer. But this morning, as we've worshiped and we've turned our attention, we turned our affection, declaring who God is, declaring his names, declaring his attributes, declaring the fact that he is able, that there is nothing that is impossible with him, that he is able to save, that he is able to deliver, that he is able to heal, that he is able to do the miraculous, that he not only did it once, but he does it still today. And so we've turned our attention to him and reflected on him in that way and praised him for who he is. But we also now come to a place where we put ourselves in a posture, in a place in our hearts to receive from him. And so for a few moments, let's look at this story of Bartimaeus. Oftentimes he'll be called blind Bartimaeus. You might hear of him as blind Bartimaeus, but I want you to know today that he is not forever to be known as blind Bartimaeus, because he was seeing Bartimaeus. He had full vision as he received from the Lord. And this morning I want us to just consider three words that can give us direction for our time of ministry this morning. The first word is need. Need. Verse 46, Bartimaeus had need. We're told that he was blind and that he was sitting by the road begging. Doesn't mention anything of his family. We don't know if there are family members around that were there to help him. We don't know if there was anyone who came alongside of him to help him in his time of need, but we know that as Jesus and the large crowd and the disciples pass by, he is sitting by the road begging. That is his source of income. That is his source of being able to live. Blind Bartimaeus depended on the generosity and the giving of others. Bartimaeus had great need. Friends, you may be coming this morning, likely in some way, with need. Your need may be physical, like Bartimaeus. It may not be vision, but it may be some other physical need. It may be an emotional need. Maybe there are wounds or pains. Maybe there are hurts from the past or hurts even from the present that you are dealing with. Maybe it's some sort of mental health problem. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's fear racking you. Something that is there that holds you down, that keeps you in darkness. Maybe it's a relationship that is broken. a relationship that has stress. Maybe it's with a friend. Maybe it's with a child. Maybe it's with a spouse. Maybe you come today in need of financial breakthrough. That you've done everything you can, and yet it always seems like you just never have enough, that you're always coming up a little bit short, and you struggle. Whatever the need, whatever the circumstance may be, as you come today, we come in the same place as Bartimaeus. We come as people in need. But as we come in need, the second word that I would like to draw our attention to is faith. Faith is what is needed to meet our need. Faith is what is needed to meet our need. In verses 47 through 48, we see blind Bartimaeus there. And as he hears that it is Jesus of Nazareth who is passing by with this large crowd, he begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This cry, this declaration of who Jesus is and his cry for mercy is evidence of, and it's his demonstration, his exercising of faith. I recognize that it is you, Jesus, passing by, that you are the promised one, the Son of David, and I cry out in faith, have mercy on me, Jesus. And his faith is energized even more when those who are standing by say, "Be quiet, Bartimaeus. Who are you to call out to him? Be quiet." And instead of him saying sorry, instead of him quieting down, instead of him abiding by what others are telling him to do, he gets louder. "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." Faith exercised in a way that doesn't get smaller when opposition comes, when people tell him to be quiet, but actually gets bolder and louder. And this faith is all directed in the person of Jesus. He recognizes that Jesus is able to heal. And so he calls out, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And we see at the end of the passage in verse 52 that this faith is what moves Jesus to heal. As Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." And immediately, Bartimaeus receives his sight and goes on and follows Jesus. You know what I find interesting in this? Is you have the disciples with Jesus, and we are told that there is a large crowd. I don't think it's too much to assume that Bartimaeus was not the only one in the crowd that had need. I don't know that he was the only one that had blindness. There may have been others there. There may have been others who were sitting on the road with him. But the story tells us, Mark recounts for us, that there seems to be one person that was healed. One person whose faith stood out in the crowd, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Faith. In the face of faith, there are enemies. We hear often about unbelief and doubt, and those are realities that we must battle against, that we must ask the Lord for help, that we must process through. Lord, help me in my unbelief. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the man who brought his son to Jesus after the transfiguration. He said, "I believe, help my unbelief." The one who we come to in faith is also the one who helps us in our unbelief and in our doubt. And so if you are dealing with that enemy this morning, the enemy of unbelief or the enemy of doubt, know that Jesus welcomes you in the unbelief. Know that he welcomes you in the doubt. Know that he welcomes you in the questioning and in the wondering. He welcomes you. But there's another enemy that I want to just highlight for a moment, and that is the enemy of pride. Because pride will stand in the way of faith in a way that maybe many other things will not. Sometimes pride is exercised in a, hey, look at me kind of boldness. When we think of pride, we often think of the person who puffs their chest out and says, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful. They're the person who may come to Jesus saying, I know that Jesus is going to heal me because Jesus owes me. They may not say it that way, but there's almost a sense of pride within themselves that they would say, you know, God owes me this. I'm that wonderful. I'm that good. My behavior is that great. I'm that wonderful of a person. I give this much. I serve this much. God owes me. So there can be pride in that way that can be an enemy of faith. There can be pride in that way that turns into a spiritual kind of gimme. And when we receive, we're like the beggars, the blind men who came to Jesus, 10 of them. And Jesus healed all 10. And they went off and did and showed themselves to the priest, or to the lepers, excuse me. And the leprosy was healed, and they went off to show themselves to the priest, and only one came back. One came back. There can be that pride of, thank you, Jesus. You did the miraculous, the impossible. I got it from here. Pride can be exercised in that way, using him as simply a divine vending machine to get what we want when we want it. And then off we go, unlike Bartimaeus, who received and followed. So pride can be expressed in that way. And oftentimes when we think of pride as an enemy to faith, that might be how we think of it. But there's a shadow side of pride that I think probably more of us struggle with than the bold, look at me, you owe me, God. And that is the shadow side of pride that says, I'm not worthy to receive from him. A pride that says others need Jesus more than I do. A pride that brings us to a place where we know our brokenness and we know our struggle. And we become very critical of ourselves and we say, how could Jesus ever love me or care about me or be willing to heal me when there's all of this that I know about in me? And so instead of running to Jesus, we retreat from him because we say, I don't think I deserve it. We may not think of it as pride, but that is just as much of pride as the boasting and the proud and the put out your chest and I deserve it. The pride that says, I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. Both of those have at the center one person, me. I think I'm great, or I don't think I'm worthy at all. No matter where you may lean more on the enemy of faith of pride, the antidote for both is this. Humbly coming and saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Believing that he is the one who, when everyone else says, be quiet, you don't deserve him. Who are you to ask? Says, come. Who calls us to himself and gives us this third word, invitation. Jesus stops in verse 49 and says, call him. And so they call the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. And he throws off his cloak, jumps to his feet, and he comes to Jesus. And Jesus asks this question, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus initially was asking for mercy. Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But Jesus says, get specific. What do you want me to do for you? What does mercy look like for you today? And Bartimaeus simply says, Rabbi, teacher, I want to see. See, there is a level of faith that gets expressed when Jesus asks specifically, what is it that you want me to do for you? And I believe that it exposes in us a vulnerability that requires the greatest faith. What is it that you want me to do? So many times when I ask from Jesus, Lord, would you bring healing? Lord, would you work in this situation? We get general. Because if we throw the wide net out, we don't have to get disappointed as easy with God. If he doesn't come through in the way that we think, in the way that we want, in the way that we hope, in the way that we need, if it's wide, it's not as much of a hurt. But when it gets specific, Lord, I want not just mercy, because mercy could be in so many ways. Mercy could be, here's a coin. Mercy could be an encouraging word. Mercy could be presence for a moment. But Bartimaeus goes deep. He says, what I really want, what mercy really looks like, I want to see. I want to see. And so there's a boldness and a humility and a risk in faith that says, Lord, I could ask for the wide, but I'm going to ask for the very specific I want to see. From there, we come and we just say, Lord, Jesus, have your way. But specificity requires us to think through, requires risk, and it requires friends, this morning, Jesus is the one who heals. Amen? Jesus is the one who meets our needs. Jesus is the one who gives us mercy. Amen? He is the one who is able to do the impossible. He has done it before, and he is able to do it still today. The scriptures declare in Hebrews 13 that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so because he did it then, he is able to do it today. And so we come to him in humble faith before him and say, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. And bring your specific. Bring your specific to him. We're going to continue to worship and just prepare our hearts to receive from the Lord whatever he would want to do. But in a little bit, I'll come back up and we're going to just take time. There'll be someone up in the overflow to be able to pray for any who want to be prayed for up in the overflow area. There'll be a few down here in the front that will be available. If there is need this morning, like Bartimaeus calling out, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Would you be so bold as to come for prayer? To come and to allow the body of Christ, other believers, to come alongside of you as Jesus ultimately asks us, what do you want me to do for you today? And trust that Jesus will work out his perfect will and outcome and say, Lord, I believe. I believe. As we would worship, let's wait upon the Lord in expectation for receiving from him.